Years ago, I found myself in a cold morning along with two other riders. It was in a ranch in Mexico. And I was helping this gentleman. We're going to bring some cows in from the river. We were waiting for the oldest rider to come, to saddle his horse and his bridle it up. And come and join us. It was cold because we had to break the water trough to get the water to the horses. And as he came, he went to his favorite stone because him and his horse, they had ridden together for a long time and they knew each other. So he was kind of arthritic, so he had to go up to the stone, and then from the stone he'd put the horse in it. That was enough room for his get in the stirrup and get on. Well, he did that. He got on the horse, and like most, some of you might know, and I know people that ride horses, when the horse's ears cock back, and that's when some expect something. And that's what it did. It bucked him off. And I said, oh, no, you know, older gentleman bucked off, not good. So I was halfway down getting off my horse when I see him come right back up and grab a bunch of stones and throw it at the horse. And the horse didn't move. He just stood there and just shaked them off like it would flies. And I said, wait a minute. These guys have already gone through this. So sure enough, he was cursing at the horse and he grabbed it by the bridle and took it right back to the stone. And he got back on the stone and just all the way up. He was telling how he was going to make glue out of him and all that stuff. And he gets back on the horse, and they ride off like if nothing happened. I said, I can't believe what I just saw, and I know if that were me, I'd still be down there on the ground. But one thing the horse did, because the rider was in a routine. Every morning he'd get on the horse. Every morning he'd get off. It was like a routine every day. But every once in a while, the horse caught the rider unprepared and reminded him who was really more powerful. He was physically prepared, but not mentally. The rider was not mentally prepared for it. Remember, this is a veteran cowboy. And he was used to that routine for a long time. This first day of unleavened bread is sort of a routine for us. We know what day it falls on. We know what physically to do. So we begin yet another spring feast day. My wife, Amalia, and I went through the routine and de-leavening the house like many of you do. But like most of you know that I worked in the government, and the government is one big routine. Everything happens at a certain time, at a certain moment, and anybody doesn't fall in line, you know. Everything is a routine, just one big cog. It's a routine. And also, as some of you might know, the government always, the language is different than in regular civilian. The language in terms of the way they talk. One thing is the acronyms. Everybody talks in acronyms in the military. Take for instance SAR, S-A-R, means search and rescue, right? Well, for when we're delivering the house, it's SAC, S-A-C, search and clean. I know people that are in our faith, that I'm pretty sure you do too, that they start de-leavening the house 2 months before it ever happens. And there are some that I've met that any time of the year, they have their leavening products in the pantry in one side and everything else in the other. That way they just take that leavening product and take care of that. Because we already got a set pattern on de-leavening. The act of delivering is only an exercise, as we well know. It serves as a reminder to deliver something much more important than our homes and vehicles, though. It's us. My sermonette title is The Unleavening of Ourselves. We spend copious amounts of time removing leavens. Some of us, like I said, got the system down pat. Are we missing something, though? Do we spend so much energy cleaning, disinfecting, vacuuming, and our material belongings that we forget to unleaven ourselves? Do we forget the message? Let's follow me to Luke chapter 10, Dr. Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. And he annotated Jesus saying, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And verse 41, Jesus replied and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. 42, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So we might be so focused on the things at hand, so we might get so wrapped up in the preparations that we forget what the message is. Follow me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. This is out of NIV. Therefore, it says, let us keep the festival not with old bread, leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So there we go. Sincerity and truth. There's nothing about it. It doesn't say, cleaner house. It's just sincerity and truth. Here, Paul is not speaking to us physically like he is speaking to us spiritually. That is the toughest thing to bring into subjection. The spirit of man. Carnality. To bring under subjection to God's law and God's way of life. The first day of unleavened bread is a commandment. That's a simple one, right? Spirit of man is some people, like horses, are high-spirited. It takes we're a little bit more tougher to get around. Tough to bring into subjection. Those horses are always on edge. If you know the high-spirited horses, people that have handled horses, they're always on edge. But once you break them, after there's a post that you go through, you ever seen a breaking pen? They have a post in the middle and they bring the horse as it's going around, closer and closer to the center of the post until he finally subjects. Some horses won't do it. They'll do everything to get out. But once you get those horses broke, they're real good horses. And remind us that we might all know, in Revelation 19:11, Jesus Christ will be coming, returning on earth on a horse. That's, it's not physical, but it probably is a high spirit horse too. But there's some people that we refuse to be under subjection, as we might know. Has any one of us been bitten by a horse? I was nipped by one, but it took more blue jean than skin. But I've met with brethren that dealt with horses that have been bitten by horses, and it's a terrible, excruciating pain because they're blunt teeth. They're not sharp. And it's just like pinching you really hard. Very traumatic. Very painful. And it said, once a horse starts biting, there's little or no chance of breaking that habit. I had a friend of mine who had a horse that bit, and we went to another friend of ours that broke horses, and he said, the only way you're going to try to break that horse, unless every time he bites you, punch him in the nose, and he said, that don't even break him, is get a warm water with a Glad bag or some, and put it right on the bridle, and if it tries to bite you, slap that bag, and that way that warm water, he thinks it's blood, and there might be a remote chance of breaking it, but he said, and for the whole reason for they won't break that habit is because they know they have power over you. It's a 500-pound animal that says, you're not going to tell me what to do, and I can just prove it. And there are those towards the end that refuse God's reign when he comes. We know that because we win at the end, right? For a horse to think that he has power over you, he'll come at you. And that's dangerous. Has anyone remember seeing the movie years ago? It's called The Horse Whisperer. Everybody remember that? Beautiful movie. And it's true. There is, I don't know if that man's retired or not. There was a man that, it was more of a documentary, I think it was. But towards the end of the movie, that they brought a horse in horse language, rank. You know, he's really bronc and it couldn't be broken. And this lady brought it to the horse whisperer. And he injured people. He injured the cowboys that were around it, and he bit at them and kicked them, and he couldn't do it. And he told the lady, I'm sorry, you're going to have to put this animal down. And that's what sometimes that reminds you of the third resurrection, right? You know, there's no way that some people are going to submit. And we're going to just shake our head, and God's going to shake his head and says, man, I've tried to. There will be those that refuse to, you know, subject themselves under God's law. They will succumb to their fate. Brethren, by now, our possessions have been delevered. Whatever system we have, it's been delevered. Let's work on ourselves. Fear God and keep his commandments.